Next case for argument is United States versus DeGraffenried. Mr. Tunick.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel for the government. May it please the court. Your Honors, as Judge Kaur's short summary of the note to the jury did not do justice to the note, did not reveal the flavor or tenor of the note. And if I might read from you the transcript of Judge Kaur's statement regarding the note from the jury in this case. Judge Kaur stated, "I got a note from the jury saying that they are in an impasse. I'm reluctant to share the note with you because it discloses what the numerical division is amongst the jurors. The note also says that one juror does not want to discuss it further, so that's where they are." Immediately at that point, I told the judge, "I hate to say this, but I think it's important that we see the whole content of the notes." The judge immediately refused that request. But the entire note, as we found out later...
You're right. You should have gotten the note. What's that got to do with the price of cheese?
Well, Your Honor, I submit to you, if I would have heard that note immediately...
What would you have done?
I would have either asked for a mistrial immediately...
But you would not have gotten.
I question that.
Well, go ahead.
I think that was within the judge's discretion.
You did judge it eventually. He told you what the note was.
He was...
He should have told you.
It was after subsequent... A great deal of deliberations transpired after that.
Yeah.
And the only... I surely would have asked for the silver instruction, which instructs the jury.
Well, I know about the silver instruction, but it was given in the beginning, wasn't it?
It was, sure.
And so it was there before them.
It was.
And what did he instruct the jury to do?
He said, continue to deliberate.
Right.
And
which means he still had the silver instruction written for him.
But it's my position.
He didn't ban him again. But he doesn't have to, does he?
No, he does not, Your Honor, but it...
You don't have to ask for a judge then to give it. It's not reversible or not to give it.
I think it's an important instruction in light of the jury's note in this case.
I understand your point of duty, but I don't know why you think that since he doesn't have to give the instruction either first or second, but if he can't, doesn't give it first, he can't give it the second, why is failure to give the silver instruction sui spada, or even if you had asked for it?
Note that he sent back to the jury he didn't acknowledge the note in any respect.
Which he could have done, nothing without your request for an additional silver instruction.
In light of the note, which specifically said one of these two has...
I don't understand your point, because I do. I understand exactly what you're saying. What I can't understand is, if he gave a silver instruction and he wouldn't have to give it if he asked for it, why is it necessary because you didn't get a chance to make the motion?
I think that it's reversible, Judge, because you have to look at the specifics of what occurred here. My position is his statement to the jury in light of this note was coercive to the minority jurors. That's my position. In order to say, just keep going.
What if he hadn't given a silver instruction in the first instance? Then he can't give it in the second instance. And if he said, continue deliberating, would that be coercive?
When you say the first instance, the first...
He has the initial instructions to the jury. He does not have to give the silver instruction.
Right.
He doesn't give it. Now he can't give it.
Okay.
We agreed to that. He can never give it, though.
Correct.
So if you had asked for any additional three, is it coercive just to say keep going?
Yes, in light of this.
No. In the abstract, is it a general returns without a discussion of 2-5 or 7-3 or anything? This is not a deadlock, and he says keep going. Is that coercive?
In a vacuum, in an innocuous situation where I don't see the jury note. And he said to keep deliberating, I would say that's not coercive.
Hmm.
But in light of...
I don't know if he has the jury now.
Pardon me?
He threw the jury now and says we're tied up.
And that specifically mentioned specifics about the fact that they don't believe the officer's testimony, they might have committed perjury, and there's clearly two people who will not change their mind. Hmm. If they keep deliberating, I think that is coercive.
Okay.
Your Honor, if I just might continue, I would... After the court filed United States v. Knapp, which is reversed in a situation somewhat similar to this, where the judge didn't, actually counsel wasn't present for the communication to the jury, but I submit it's similar enough, it's a violation of the Sixth Amendment, it should be reversed. Likewise, United States versus Knapp. If there's any other questions about this issue, I'll move to the second issue.
Attaboy.
Thank you. With respect to the second issue, I was not able, Judge Court limited my cross-examination of the officer. And in order to understand exactly why the cross-examination was limited, you have to understand what transpired before. It was, the government did not turn over my client's oral statement. It was not turned over Rule 16 materials at all. And so I didn't even have the statement. 2 weeks before the trial, they faxed over a letter saying, these are handwritten notes to Detective O'Donovan. They didn't say that there were Rule 16 materials in that communication. I had no idea that they contained my client's statement in them. It wasn't until the actual trial, when you were talking about the testimony of this juvenile testified, that I learned that those notes contained my client's statement. It was then that I moved to preclude them from introducing an oral statement that wasn't given to me until 11 months after the case was indicted. That was denied. When we were at trial, I sought to cross-examine Detective O'Donovan about why those notes, about when those notes were turned over and where they were turned over to. The government moved in limine to preclude me.
You asked about the contents of the note, too? Weren't you trying to ask about that?
The contents of the handwritten note?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question, Your Honor.
That's what I asked you, and he had no knowledge of it?
He said that he didn't know who he turned them over to, and he couldn't even tell the exact date. But I want
to... And the court told you that you had to go to the other officer, that this man had no knowledge of it.
Well, but that was his position. That was his position. I wanted to further inquire. He couldn't give you the name of the supervisor. He couldn't get into dates. I think it was very important regarding his credibility whether these handwritten notes actually took place in conjunction with my client's statement or when these handwritten notes were drafted. And it surely cast doubt on his credibility. You could see it from the juror's own note to the judge. They didn't believe necessarily the officer's testimony regarding my client's statement. And I think that I should not have been precluded from cross-examining an agent who took an oral, or actually a detective, who took an oral statement from my client about when he took this statement down, who he subsequently turned it over to. I wasn't trying to attack the government in any way with that. I was trying to attack his credibility. And I never to this day, I would actually save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Hamilton?
May it please the court, Carrie Hamilton on behalf of the United States. Any error in not immediately reading the note from the jury verbatim to counsel was harmless. The district court did tell counsel the general material nature of the note. In addition, approximately an hour later, the district court read the note in its entirety to counsel.
Why don't you stop with this? The district court is precluding from inquiring as to the split. And the bottom one was that the jury voluntarily told him what the split was, and he didn't know whether he should release that or not. Now, is that right?
That's right.
Somebody called his attention to the fact that it requires that you show them what he did.
That's right.
Okay, got that part. Let's move on to the second part.
On to the cross-examination, or?
Yeah, cross-examination.
Contrary to what Mr. Tunick said, he was in fact allowed to cross-examine Detective O'Donovan about when his notes were created, who he gave those notes to, and when he gave those notes to whomever he gave them to. And in fact, Mr. Tunick did cross-examine Detective O'Donovan about those very things. All Judge Gore did was limit any cross-examination of Detective O'Donovan as to what happened to his notes at any later time, when they were given to me, when I gave them to Mr. Tunick. All of those things were not only irrelevant to the jury's consideration, but they were outside of Detective O'Donovan's first-hand knowledge. because of that, the limitation on his cross-examination was in fact reasonable, and it was not an abuse of
the
court.
What would have been wrong with him being able to ask, when did you give the notes to him, and he said, and what happened to him after, and what was wrong with this, I don't know.
There was nothing, I mean, but actually, in fact, basically what
that?
Happened.
Yeah.
What happened is he was asked when he created the notes and who he gave them to.
Was this in front of the jury?
In front of the jury. Yeah. And Detective O'Donovan responded that he gave them to a supervisor, and he also testified about approximately when he created those notes.
But now when he gave them? Was not allowed to guess when he gave them?
He was allowed to cross-examine Detective O'Donovan about when they were turned over to ATF agent Susan Bray.
Mm-hmm.
And
why was he precluded from asking?
He was precluded from asking when the notes were provided from the federal government, from me as a prosecutor, to Mr. Tunick as defense counsel.
Why was he precluded from that?
Well,
if he didn't know?
There's no way that Detective O'Donovan would have known.
Isn't that a simple answer? How would I know?
And
but the question should be, shouldn't it?
Isn't he
entitled to wide latitude in his cross-examination of the government's witnesses?
He's entitled to wide latitude unless he's going to get into irrelevant issues.
It's not irrelevant. He doesn't know, he doesn't know. There are no other notes, by the way, just academically. Or aren't I allowed to ask?
Oh, absolutely. And it's in the record. What happened was Detective O'Donovan wrote down handwritten notes called a general progress report.
He got that 2 weeks ahead of time.
2 weeks before our initial trial date, which was then moved, and there were additional several months after that. I had a copy of something called a case supplementary report, which is a typewritten report created by Detective O'Donovan. And it incorporated everything from his notes except for the statement from the defendant. I produced that typewritten report to Mr. Tunick as part of the Rule 16 materials, never having no knowledge of the handwritten notes. In preparation of Detective O'Donovan.
Then having no knowledge of the oral statement.
I didn't know about the oral statement, nor did I know that there was a report.
And you reported the oral statement to them.
Exactly.
Okay.
During his pre-trial preparation, he tells me that there was a statement.
This is a shock every time.
And that there are handwritten notes. Okay. And at that point, my agent says, oh, I have those. I thought everything that was in the supplementary report was in the handwritten notes.
So you rush on and you tell your defendant.
And at that point, I faxed the handwritten notes over to Mr. Tunick that afternoon.
A simple explanation, it wouldn't have bothered me. I don't know why I was precluded from asking it.
Because it would have been improper impeachment of Detective O'Donovan.
It wasn't impeachment. We just want to know what happened in the notes. Where were they?
But that was...
He says he wanted to use it for impeachment.
That's right.
He says that now because he doesn't want to attack you. You gave it to him as soon as you got it.
I did.
Okay.
But he actually made it clear in opening argument that he was planning to impeach Detective O'Donovan based upon the specific issue. And so
he said a lot. He didn't make it up just down there. He said up here he wanted to impeach him.
Right.
Okay.
Unless there are any further questions, the government would ask that this court affirm defendant Frederick DeGraff and Reed's conviction and sentence.
Okay, thank you. Ms.
Thank you.
Mr. Tunick, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
I didn't misstate your position, did I?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'd just like to briefly read to you the transcript of the cross, the relevant cross of Detective O'Donovan. And it begins with, on page 141 of the transcript, you said you prepared notes of my client's statement. That's correct. Question. You said you prepared notes of my client's statement. Answer. That's correct, sir. Question. Who did you give those notes to? Answer. Were submitted with the supplementary case reports as part of the investigative file. Question. My question was, who did you give them to? Answer. As I stated, they're submitted, and a supervisor from our unit will then review the case report, review the general progress reports. If that supervisor feels everything's in order, they will sign the general progress reports and then approve the case reports on the computer. They don't say anything about giving the notes to Agent Bray. That's what I was specifically asking. Who did you give them to? I would have followed up with further questions. When did you give them to Agent Bray? I was precluded from asking any further questions about when I was received those notes.
Yes.
And in light of his testimony, he doesn't even say he gave them to Agent Bray. I think it surely damages his credibility I'm not supposed to take the government's word as to where these notes were. I mean, if that was the case, we wouldn't have cross-examination. I would just ask the assistant U.S. attorney what happened, and then we would just proceed with the trial in that respect. I wanted to try to flesh out certain information, and I was precluded from that. And I believe that's a violation of the Sixth Amendment, Your Honors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Tunick. And you were appointed, were
yes,
you not?
Sir.
Well, we thank you for your vigorous
efforts. Thank you.
Thank you to Ms. Hamilton also.